gotten upset at me before when I left Andrew out. So she's got a husband. His name is Andrew. And she has several sets of grandparents, and one of them sitting over here, an adopted set of grandparents. There are some special people, the Tullers. If you have not gotten to know them, get to know them. They do a great work. I'd also mention a specific aspect about Sister Tuller. Tommy said I'd probably say something about her, and I just can't let it pass. Sister Tuller is a special person. She gave me a certificate. It is Ye Old Buzzard Certificate. This is a certified that Eugene Jenkins on November the 3rd, 2006 is hereby awarded this certificate of appreciation for attaining the rank of top buzzard. Chief Bird Watcher Shirley Tuller. And to know that it's official, she put her picture on it. But yet she seems to have a problem when I call her Old Buzzard. She denies that. And I determine why. Buzzard is what she wants to be called, kind of like the bucket lady on TV. You've seen that? She wants to be bouquet. Well, she called her Sister Buzzard. It's actually buzzard, but, you know, she wants to be a little bigger than that. So, but they are special. But I have to also say something before I get with my lesson on Tommy and Janet and the boys. I appreciate Tommy and Janet so very much. As he said, we've been friends for many, many years. I believe that the congregation here is greatly blessed to have that family here. Some of you may not agree, but that's usually the case when there's somebody that's solid and sound and is not going to put up with a whole lot that is not what it should be. And from what I've been able to see just a little bit of the two elders that you have, I think this congregation has a great, great deal going for it. Many members, I can say the same thing for the little bit of time, but I know I've talked to Tommy about the elders because the elders are so vitally important. And as a matter of fact, as I said at 3rd 9th Street, a little while ago, I believe they're the key. Oftentimes people say preachers are the key. Well, preachers are one of the keys. But preachers cannot do their work properly if the elders do not back them and demand of them the things that need to be done. And so I'm so thankful that this congregation has fine elders that she has. And, of course, Keith and Valerie, as he said, we go back a long way as well. Appreciate them. Glad they're able to be here. Sad that others are not able to be here, but glad that they are. And then one word about the Jamaica work. There are papers on the table in the display room that you can read about the work. And there are applications. Everybody has to fill out a questionnaire. Everybody has to, who goes by invitation only. And it's based primarily upon that questionnaire because we don't want somebody to go there and then have to fight with them and what they're going to teach. And so they're not invited unless they answer the questions properly. And so if you are interested in that, please look at that. We're always looking for good, sound, faithful brethren to go of any age, and so we would encourage you to do that. Age, that's what my lesson's about. It's not true that Tommy was spoken to last lesson, although he can learn some things from that, but it's been a long time since he's been that age. He's even older than me, and my kids say that I'm ancient. So this lesson is for Tommy just as well as it is for me, and just as well for everyone, but particularly for those who are older. Those of us who have gotten older, now that you are older, now that I am older, are you important to the church? What would you answer to someone who had asked you that question? Would you say, well, yes, indeed, immediately? Most people don't. It seems to me, and I may be wrong, and I hope that I am, but it seems to me that most of those who have gotten older, any age to any degree, have developed the attitude, I used to be important to the church, but I'm not any longer. I used to be when I was younger, but I just can't do anything anymore. I used to be important, but, well, I've served my time, and now it's up to the younger Christians. Well, is it true that you who have gotten older aren't important to the church anymore? Well, no, it's not true. No, 1,000 times no, it's not true. But yet, so many times, the older members who at one time have been the greatest strength of the church are the weakest link. I personally believe there should not be any weak links, but because we're human, there are times that we are weak links. There are going to always be times that we have ups and downs. There are going to be periods of time that we're despondent, we're frustrated, we may be depressed, but we've got to get out of those things. And those are the things that we may go through from time to time, but I'm not really talking about that. I'm going to be talking about primarily our attitudes. That's what I'm beginning with. That's why I asked that question. Are we important? Well, of course we are important, regardless of our age. As a matter of fact, we're some of the most important people in the church. The last speaker talked about the young people and how important they are, and they are vitally important, but how are the young people going to know what to do? I know they can study, but how are they going to really know what to do with what they study a lot of times if the older people are not showing the way? If the older people give up and say, well, it's up to the young people now, who are they going to follow? We're going to follow somebody. We're going to emulate somebody. Who are they going to follow? Tommy, I think, made a good point at the end of the last lesson. And that was that point. Who are we following? What are the examples that are there? I know that due to frail health, some of you may be limited in regard to what you can do. And yet, whether you are strong or frail or in between, you can help the local church. And that's what we're talking about, helping the local church. Now, if we help the local church, what else are we going to help? We're going to help the church universal because we're going to go various places. And as we travel, we're going to stop at the various congregations. We're going to encourage. We're going to challenge when something's wrong. If you ever visited a congregation as an older member of the Lord's body and you've seen something that should not be, have you been afraid to say something? I've known of those who have come back home and complained about it. And, well, did you say anything? No. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Why? Because we're all brothers and sisters in Christ, if it's truly a church of Christ. And we need to help one another. I'm not talking about being busy bodies and other people's business, but I'm talking about the Lord's church and the fact that souls are important. And if those of us who are older do not do what we should do to help the local congregation where we are, but also help those where we visit, then we're letting ourselves down, we're letting God down, and we're letting them down. Well, how is it? What are some of the ways that we can make sure that we fulfill the role of older Christians in helping the local church? Well, first of all, don't let the past hinder the present. Don't let the past hinder the present. How many times have you failed to accomplish something you've tried? Have you ever? I have. I've failed so many times that sometimes I have given up. I've known others to do the same thing. But we need to be careful of that because too many times we give up too quickly. And there are times maybe we should not do what we're trying to do because we realize that's not our talent. It's not something we can do when we go to some other area. But what I'm talking about is the individuals who will give up because something didn't work, give up because they failed, and never, never try again. Not only won't try that, but they just won't do anything. Do you know anybody that way? Is it possible that you have done that? I've known several who have done that. The point is that failure is a part of reality. And we cannot allow our failures to keep us from doing the things God would have us to do and expect Him to be pleasing unto us. There is, of course, a need to look back. We're given the command that we're to partake of the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Why do we partake of the Lord's Supper? To look back, to remember that Christ died for us. So there is a need to look back. There's also a need to look back in the sense of not making the same mistakes or the poor judgments or causing problems that maybe we've caused before because of a lack of wisdom. But the fact still remains that we cannot allow ourselves to allow our failures to keep us from doing, to keep us from trying. And that does happen. It's happened too many times. Point is, when looking back keeps us from looking ahead and doing what we are capable of doing, we will not do what God wants us to do. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to Philippians chapter 3. Verses 13 and 14, and look at the attitude that is here. Paul's attitude is the attitude that we need to have, lest we allow the past to hinder our present, the past failures to hinder our present. Have you ever been in a meeting? You ever talked to someone and they I think, again, the last speaker mentioned it several times. Well, that won't work. We've tried that before. So, is it wrong? No. Then try it again. If it's something that'll help. If it's something that'll build up, if it's something that'll challenge Christians. You know, we as Christians sometimes have become lazy. And that's true of those of us who are older. Sometimes we say our young people are lazy, and sometimes they are, but sometimes we are too. And we don't want to be challenged. We need to be challenged. And the only way we're going to be challenged is if we have the attitude that it's talking about here. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Have we quit pressing because we've gotten a little age on us? Have we quit pressing because we have more ailments? I know Tommy was talking about, oh, I've gotten old. He was kidding a lot, but yet some of it wasn't kidding. I've got places I didn't know I had because they're aching so much. Well, that happens, doesn't it? Whether it's happening to you now or not, if you live long enough, it's going to happen. Are we going to let that get in the way, or are we going to still have that attitude that Paul had to press toward that mark? Is that mark something that grows less important because we've gotten older? No. We want to make that mark. We want to win heaven. And with this attitude, we can. I believe that with this attitude, every one of us, regardless of our age, can achieve for Christ in the future more than we've ever achieved in the past. But what's the key to doing that? If we want to. That's the key to everything. If we want to. Now, I'm not one that, well, yes, I am. I won't feel bad. I'm one that goes around and picks on people, and therefore I don't mind embarrassing somebody once in a while. And I've embarrassed my son Tyler several times in the past, so I don't mind embarrassing him again. He says he doesn't get embarrassed anymore. But there have been times that I have looked at Tyler and I have said, Tyler, why in the world are you being so lazy? And then other times I've looked at Tyler and he's as energetic as anybody I've ever seen. You know what the difference is? One thing he doesn't want to do, the other thing he wants to do. Well, Tyler's no different than anybody else. And sometimes we may lie to ourselves or we may convince ourselves that's not the case when we get older. But that's the case. It's if I want to. And so I want to challenge every one of us, again, regardless of our age, but because of this lesson, I want to challenge every one of us who have gotten older, and there are some that are much older than I, to make sure we have this attitude that Paul had, that we are indeed going to press toward the mark because we want to. We're going to do everything we can to fulfill what we are capable of doing because we want to. And if we don't want to, then there's something wrong. And somebody needs to help us to see that we're not thinking the way we ought to think. And that's one of the good things about lectureships like this. There are so many things that many of us still can do. No matter how many birthdays lie behind us, it is the time ahead that counts. What good is it going to do for those of us who are older Christians if we have done so many wonderful works for the Lord, but then we get lazy or can call it whatever we want to and we quit doing those things? We make excuses, well, I can't do it anymore when we can. Now, God's not going to expect anything we can't do, but he knows what we can do. And so we need to make sure that we have the proper attitude. Allen Webster, the general editor of House to House, Heart to Heart, a good friend, said that we need older members with an optimistic attitude toward life. How important is it to be optimistic? Oh, it is so vitally important. I don't like to be around pessimistic people. I don't care what age they are. Do you? What happens when you're around somebody that's pessimistic? You're excited. You got something you're ready to get involved in, and somebody's pessimistic. Before long, you'll be pessimistic. Before long, you won't even try. So I don't like to be around that type of person, and therefore what Alan says here I think is very important. And so Brother Webster challenges all older people by these words. He says that today in congregations of the Lord's church, brethren over 65 comprise one of the greatest potential workforces for Christ. You have been released from an oppressive work schedule. There is no longer a ringing alarm, no hectic rush to punch the time clock, and no imposed regimen of activity. You are free to do what you want to do when you want to do it. You can achieve more for Christ in your future than you ever have in the past. Do you believe that? He's exactly right. And yet too many times there are older Christians that retire from work. I think somebody mentioned this earlier. Retire from work and they've got all the time. They've got more money than they've ever had in their lives. You think they're going to go on a mission trip to Jamaica? No. Why are they not going to go on a mission trip to Jamaica? Because they're not going to do anything at home. Only the ones that are going to go to Jamaica are the ones that do it at home. And if you're not willing to do it at home, don't even fill out a questionnaire. Because I don't want you to go with me. You know, what's my point? My point is, Alan's exactly right. We have, when we get older, and particularly those who have come to the age to where they've retired, have an opportunity that is so, so important and too many of us ignore. Consider the poem by Irene Taylor. Sorry that Brother and Sister Taylor couldn't come be with us this week, as I know that you are. In her book entitled, Pearls of Poetry, she has a poem written primarily to women, but I believe that men need to consider what she's saying as well. And the title of the poem is The Old Rocking Chair. Rocking chairs are for babies to soothe them when they cry. They're not meant for grandma's use to sit and by the by. It's also nice for the brief rest that renews one's energy, but it's not very comfortable a permanent place to be. There's much for all of us to do, even when we are mature, when life's wintertime requires us those aging aches endure. It's time for us to look around and forget about oneself. The Lord above never meant for us to crawl upon the shelf. So get out of the rocking chair and get back into life's game and leave that chair for babies. Go work to spread God's name. Oh, what a wonderful lady. What wonderful words. And they challenge every one of us, not just the ladies, to not crawl upon the shelf, to not sit in the rocking chair, but to get up and endure our aches and pains and go to work to spread God's name. Another way we who are older can help the local congregation is to be a Tom Newberry. Do what you can. Now, I know that most of you don't know Tom Newberry. Some of you do. And so let me introduce Tom to you. Tom is one of my heroes. He is a man that I admire, and I admire greatly. He is 83, maybe 84 by this time. And he is one that I met in when I moved to Oak Grove 13 years ago. He was 70 years old at the time. I talked to him about the mission work in which I'm involved in on the island of Jamaica. And Tom said, I want to go. You know, I've heard that a lot of times. I've heard it from young people. I've heard it from middle-aged. I've heard it from older people. And the difference between Tom and many of those older people is he said, I want to go, and he went. He went at 70 years old? Yes, he did. Some people have said to me, well, that's too old. As a matter of fact, the first year he went, there was one person that was so afraid that he wasn't going to make it, she just complained all the time. And I said, oh, he'll run us all ragged, and he did. Now, what's the difference between Tom and a lot of other people? He wanted to. 70 years old? That's too old. Well, it wasn't for him. Neither was 71. Neither was 74. Neither was 76. Neither was 80. Neither was 82. He didn't go this year. He wanted to, planned to, but his wife had cancer, had to be removed, and he was the only one that could sign for her because she was not able to sign for herself. And so Tom is such a wonderful fellow. And he's wonderful because he cares about the Lord, just as you care about the Lord. But he is even more wonderful because he said, I want to go. But then he went. How many of us say, I want to do that, and you're capable? But there's always something holding us back, always something. And so Tom didn't just want to go. He went, even though he was old and he's getting older yet. The time will come that he will not be able to go to Jamaica, more than likely. But there's one thing I'm sure about Tom. Tom will still have his Bible in his hand. He will still have his board on the back of his pickup truck with his produce in it, with the Mark 16:16 diagram on it, and he'll still be, while he's selling his produce, trying to teach those people at the farmer's market. And somebody says, well, I can't do that because they might not buy my produce. They buy his produce, and he teaches them. Many of them won't listen, but he still teaches them. They'll ask, what's that on that board? And he tells them. He's got Mark 16:16 diagrammed on it, and he knows it by heart and many other things. So even when he can no longer go to Jamaica, he'll still preach and teach and encourage and challenge. He'll still do that, and it is my conviction that he'll do that based upon what he has done until his dying day. That's why I say be a Tom Newberry. Every one of us needs to be. Every one of you who are older, don't act like you can't be a Tom Newberry. You can. Why? What's the difference between him and others? He wants to and he does. And too many of us say we want to and don't. And I'll remind you of that a little bit more as we go on. Tom reminds me of Caleb, one of the great men of the Old Testament times. Caleb, being faced with remaining quiet in the face of error or standing for truth against the majority, said in Numbers 13:30 that he stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. He had just come just as those other 11, one other, of course, being one that was faithful, 10 who were saying that they could not take it. He'd come from a land with giants. He'd come from a land that scared them, made them seem like grasshoppers. And yet here's this one man that stands up and makes that statement. We are well able to overcome it. When the others said, we can't. He stood up. His faith overcame any fear he may have had. Turn to Numbers chapter 14, verses 8 and 9. Let us remind ourselves of those. He overcame any fear he may have had, causing him to declare something that we also need to have the faith to declare, understanding we're in a different time, but understanding that God has not changed in his power, understanding that if we do what he says, he will bless us as he has promised through his Son. But he said, if the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us. If the Lord delight in us, well, what if the Lord delight in us? Will he fulfill the things that he has promised? To them, he said, I will give you this land. It is yours if you will go and do what I say. And he trusted, even though the others didn't. He goes on to say, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not against the Lord, which with neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. What do we think about our enemies today? What do we think about all the hordes of people that are out here that are fighting against us and doing everything they can? Too many times we throw up our hands and I hear brethren say, oh, we can't do anything about it. There's just too many. We act as if there's no power in the gospel. We need to have the faith of this man where he says, again, rebel not against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them. It hadn't at that point, but he knew it would if they would do what God said. And I'm convinced that the same is true today. The defense of our enemy, of God's enemy, is departed from them only when we do the things that he says to do, because the power of the gospel is stronger than their defenses. And so we need to be as Caleb. Each of us who are older have that responsibility as well as those who are younger. He goes on to say, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Fear, I'm afraid, is one of those things that is so prevalent in our society, and it is prevalent too many times in the church. It's in my mind at times too. You think it's easy to go up and talk to somebody that is not faithful? It's not for me. You think it's easy to go up and talk to somebody about their sins? It's not for me. Just because I get up here, I'm used to this. You know, I can talk to those who agree with me. It's easy. It's not as easy to talk to somebody that isn't. But yet too many times we throw up our hands and again say, it won't work. It will. How do I know it will? Because it's worked many other times. But how do I know it will work like it did then? Because if I am doing what God says, he has promised that it will. You mean even for me that is old? Even for me that cannot speak maybe as well as someone else? Even for me who cannot get around as good as others? Yes, indeed. Because the power is not in me. The power is in the gospel. The power is not in you. The power is in the gospel. And we've got to remind ourselves of that. It's one thing to be hard-working and faithful Christian when young, someone may say, but it's not so easy when older. Well, that wasn't the case with Caleb, for after 45 years had passed, he wasn't ready to retire. He wasn't ready to put the burden on others. Someone said, and I don't remember who it was, in a previous lesson about those who say, well, I'm not going to teach anymore, I've done my part. I wonder what God's going to say about that. I know what his word says about it, and I know what the implications are. I guess I should say I wonder what Christ is going to say about that on Judgment Day. And I believe that he is not going to be pleased because of the very many times that he has told us that we have the responsibilities that we have. Caleb was one who would not shirk his responsibility because of advanced age. Never would he. And I want to ask each of you to consider yourself. As Tom said in his lesson, don't look behind you, in front of you, don't look on either side. Consider for yourself, are you, as an older Christian, shirking your responsibility and putting it off on someone else? If you are, God's not pleased with it. If I am, God's not pleased with it. That's as simple as it can be. We have verses, turn to Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 and 7. And let's look at the attitude of this 85-year-old man. How many times do you go to the elders and say, man, I sure would like to do this? How many times, as an older Christian, do you go and say, I want to have a part in this? And I don't mean belligerently. I'm talking about going and asking if they will allow you to do this under their oversight. How many times do we do that? Look at what he said in Joshua 14, 6 and 7. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years of old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. In other words, I was faithful. I did what I was supposed to do. Drop down to verses 9 and 10. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever. Why would it be? Because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. Drop down to verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. I've turned 85, and he still wants the mountain. Now, by the way, this isn't a mountain with a condo on it. This isn't a mountain with a fishing pond on it and a boat. This is a mountain that he's going to have to go and run out the heathen. He's still going to have to fight for it, just like he would have had to before. Now, therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in the day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Even when he's 85, yes. And I believe that's one of the biggest keys of my whole lesson. If we will have that attitude, we want to do what God says, we can do it. And it doesn't matter our age. Understanding that we are going to be hindered to some degree at times because of our health, but we can do what we can do. Every one of us can. And we need to have that attitude. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. If I follow what God says, I will be successful. If I don't, I won't. And then verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Friends, are you a Caleb? Are you a Tom Newberry? Or are you one of those many who have retired from the work of the Lord because you've gotten older? Oh, I know that Caleb had retained his strength as he had when he was young, according to verse 11. And yet, though his strength was important in taking the mountain, his strength, physical strength, wasn't the most important. What was most important? His attitude and his desire and his faithfulness. You put that combination together with anybody, and that individual can be what God would have them to be. That's true of those of us who are older. What's the difference between Tom and Caleb and those who fail? Well, Caleb wanted to work and did. Tom wanted to work and did. Those who fail may say they want to, but don't. If you will do what you can, you will build up the church, and God will be pleased with you. If you will not do what you can, he won't. That's put about as simply as I can put it, but it's as true as it can be. We determine whether he's going to be pleased with us. Not only must we do that, but if we are going to be ones who, as older members of the Lord's body, are going to build up the local congregation, we must encourage instead of discouraging. Elihu, the son of Arkel, the Buzite, in Job 32 and verse 7, said, Days should speak, and multitudes of years should teach wisdom. Has multitudes of years taught wisdom to you? Are you wiser now than you were when you were young? You know, sometimes we have the attitude young people just think they know it all. And sometimes they seem to think they do. They don't, but they think they know it. But young people are not the only ones that think they know it all. Too many times, older people do as well. And therefore, we quit studying. This is a further on in the lesson, but I can tell by the time I won't get to that, so I'll just mention it here. How many times have we who have gotten older quit studying? One of my greatest disappointments in life, as far as the example of someone else, was a man I'm not going to name. All of you would know him. Gospel preacher. Who I had the opportunity to visit with several other preachers many years ago when I was a young preacher. And someone asked him, well, how much do you study now? And he said, I don't study anymore. I don't have time. Oh, it just, you ever seen a balloon that lost its air? I lost it. I didn't lose it. Well, he saw it. But it disappointed me more than I could say. Because here's a man I looked up to so much because of his work, and yet he quit studying. Brethren, if we quit studying, we're not going to be what we ought to be in these regards. We're not going to have the wisdom that we ought to have. But we need to think about encouragement and discouragement. You say, well, what does this have to do with this subject? Well, it has to do with we are either going to build up the church or we're going to tear down the church based upon our attitude. My wife has often said an old grouch didn't get that way overnight, and she's right. And so I want to ask a question, and you know what the answer to this question is. Are you an old grouch? Are you one that just simply can't get along with anybody? Are you one that's going to nitpick everybody and the elders are going to have trouble with you all the time? Then you need to get over it. Are you going to hurt the church? You're not helping the church that way. You're not helping yourself that way, and you're not going to go to heaven that way. Now, people say, well, it's too old to teach an old dog new tricks. It is not. And so if you're an old grouch, then you need to change. You need to change what you should have been. You need to start doing some kind of exercises, mental exercises, maybe even some facial exercises to smile instead of frown. You know, it's serious. I know it's funny, but it's serious. I have seen some brethren that I didn't want to see coming because all they got to do is bitter weed. It's almost like they've been sucking on bitter weed every time you see them. And it's just not to be that way. You have a young man or a young lady that's trying to do whatever God says to do, and they're excited, and they come along, and man, they just ruin it. It just ought not to be that way. And so if you are an old grouch, you need to change. When the 10 spies, those other than Joshua and Caleb, gave their evil report in Numbers 13:33, it says in the King James Version that they made the people's heart to be discouraged. In the American Standard Version of 1901, it said it made their heart to melt. You think about you as an older Christian and whether you cause anybody to be discouraged, or whether you cause anybody's heart to melt, whether you cause a good work to never get off the ground because it's always, it can't work, it won't happen, I've seen it fail and all. I hear that so much I don't get physically ill, but I get mentally ill sometimes. And I'm determined I'm not going to be that way. As I said at the beginning of the lesson, there are times that all of us are going to have our down times, but I'm just not going to be that way, or I'm not going to be around anybody. Now, of course, some people would rather me not be around, but that's another point. It's just one of those things. We don't need to be old grouches. And so do your words encourage and give strength, or do they melt the resolve of those who are serious to save souls? Talk about the Jamaica work just for a second. We decided we were going to try to help the brethren, and it's hard because it's hard to raise money. It's hard to get the group to go, but help brethren to build that building that Tommy was talking about. And I had several people saw, can't ever do it. Won't happen. Can't do it. Well, it's slow, but a group's been over there 2 years and actually about 3.5 weeks because 2 weeks at a time, traveling time, that makes about 2.5 weeks. And they've got the foundation built, and they've got the floor in, and they've got the walls up to about 6 feet, and they got all the plumbing in. Probably take about 3 more years at the rate we're going. If we can scratch out enough money, get enough people to go, but they're going to have a nice building. And that's important in Jamaica because the Jamaicans think that if a congregation doesn't have their own building, then they're fly by night. They're not going to pay attention to them. So it's important. But then we're planning on, as soon as that building is habitable, we're going to take a team over there and we're going to have a 2-week gospel campaign and try to teach those people. And so I'm looking forward to that, but I've had people discouraged. Just old grouches, never work. It does, if you'll work it. Not everything is positive, but you can and should be positive about God's word and will, and those who are striving to faithfully fulfill it. And then finally, as my time comes close to an end, I want to stress something that I think it's putting everything together. You want to help the local church, the local congregation? You want to help the church worldwide? Just be faithful. Now, it involves all that I've talked about, but it also involves other things. Be faithful. Why be faithful? Well, because it's the only way that you're going to go to heaven. The promise is given only to the faithful. And we sometimes can fool ourselves and say, I'm faithful. And when we're not, I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. We can determine whether we are or whether we're not, but the judge is going to be Christ. And so we need to make sure that we are faithful. And so regardless of how old I am fortunate enough to get, I cannot retire from God's service. It is my task as a 55-year-old, just like it was my task as a 25-year-old. And it will be my task if I happen to be fortunate enough to live to be an 85 or 95 or 105-year-old to be faithful. To be faithful in doing everything that I am capable of doing. And so it is with each of us. It is when we do so that we'll be able to say, as Paul, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. And it is not until that that we can say that. And so I challenge each of us to think about that, whatever our age, but since my lesson is focused in on the older Christians, I challenge you in particular to make sure that you look at it that way. Now, there are a lot of things that being faithful involves that I'm not going to have time talking about. But I do want to mention this, which goes together with something that was said earlier, and that is that we need to be willing to speak up in teaching those who are younger. In Titus chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, it says that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. Do you want, and it goes on and tells what they're to teach. But my point is here that the older men are to teach, the younger women are to teach. Do you know of those who are not what they ought to be? Do you know of those who are weakening the church? Then build them up. Teach them. I know it is not your job to teach other people's kids, for example, or to raise other people's kids. It's not mine either. But a loving and proper attitude with the wisdom that you should have can go a long way in helping a young couple to properly raise their children. And Satan's after our children, by the way. I know teenagers oftentimes don't want to listen to us, but I've seen my children listen to someone else that is older besides myself because they don't want to listen to me when they would listen to somebody else. But too many times people are timid. I had a faithful lady tell me one time, well, what if they don't listen? I talked to them, they don't listen. It's not your responsibility as an older person to make them listen, but it is your responsibility to teach. And that's where oftentimes we're failing as older members. And so I've got other things I could say, but I don't want Tommy to have the privilege of hearing that buzzer buzz and me still up here. So I'm going to go ahead and close with just this encouragement. Be faithful. Do what God says to do, and He will be pleased. If you are not doing what He says, regardless of what you tell yourself, He is not going to be pleased. Now, when we end this life or when Christ comes back, whichever's first, do we want to be faithful or not? Of course we want to be faithful. It's up to us. Thanks.